जय इस प्रकार श्री श्री गुरु ग्रंग श्री श्री गंधारवी के गिरिधारी जो की जाए। सो टू मिसडायरेक्ट समवन इन देयर स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ Srila Saraswati Thakur said that if you can make one person a devotee of Krishna, if you can convert one person to be a devotee of Krishna, that is more valuable than building thousands of hospitals and treating thousands of patients. If you make a hospital and the police capture someone, and while they're capturing him, they injure that dacoit, and they take him to the hospital to treat him, and the hospital treats him so he recovers from his injury. And then the man may go to jail for some days or months or something. When he gets out, then he'll resume his previous activities as a dacoit, maybe a who knows what, a thief, a murderer, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then his activities, which are destructive to society and destructive to himself, they will continue, and the hospital is assisted in that, right? So they become implicated in the crime. Like in the, I think it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a purport, where it's mentioned that one who eats meat is considered very sinful. It's a very sinful activity to eat meat. But it's not only the meat eater that is implicated. The one who kills the animal, he's also implicated. The one who prepares the meat for distribution, he's implicated. The one who distributes it, he's implicated. And the one who sells it, he's implicated. A long string of persons who are implicated every time someone goes to buy some piece of meat and consume it. And the Vedas say that for one who kills the cow, then he must take a birth and be killed himself for every hair on the cow's body. And I don't know what the reaction is for those who assist in the process, but it's very severe. So the hospital, if we treat the meat eater, then he may recover from his injury, only to utilize his healthy body to kill more cows or some other helpless animal, right? So then, how much good did the hospital really do for that person? We give you a chance to do more of your killing. You haven't killed enough. We'll help you kill some more. So Prabhupada, anyway, he learned it from Saraswati Thakur. This is our mission. We don't care much for these philanthropic activities, and it's a very difficult thing to understand. I was reading some letters from some devotees that they're having trouble with their household life, and looking for help from one of our temples or one of our temple authorities, and they weren't getting really much help. Help meaning financial assistance.
Yeah.
And someone was. One devotee was telling this person that, I think you will not be very successful in getting that type of help. And I couldn't tell exactly if he was being critical or just matter of fact, or exactly how what the tone of his letter was, but I had to agree with it. It's pretty much true. So that may be very discouraging to some. And someone, we had an instance, some lady devotee had some her husband sort of was undependable, and she came here when I wasn't here, and asked Lila Sundri, "Oh, please give us some food, not prasadam, food, something, Lila, what did she want? What sorts of food?" "Oh, what are you doing?
Now I'm in my
You're
leftover
not
salad.
listening. Okay, go sit there. I told you what you can do. This isn't snack time.
Oh,
But
okay.
if you want to sit there and have some
Leftover
drink,
salad, okay, and drink.
no,
Drink.
drink, then you can do that. This is class time. It's not prasadam seva time.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Anyway, this lady, no, she wanted, the storehouse. She wanted, my monthly allowance. She was getting food stamps, and so she had assistance from the government, and I don't know what other assistance. And but she'd it already, she'd already spent that, and there's still a few days before her next allowance would come or something, and so. She is asking Lila Sundri, as I said, I was gone, so to give her things, and her plea was, for her children, right? Not for herself, for her children. So, okay, who wouldn't be sympathetic, right? So, Lila Sundri is extremely soft-hearted, and she will go hungry in order to give someone else food, right? That's the way she is, and that's what she did. So she gave actually what was needed by her to this lady for her and her children. And so when I came back and I heard about it, I was away, I was in India. And when I came back and I, Lila Sundri told me what she'd done, and I told her, no, if they want to come here and take prasadam with us, then that's you can do that, but it's not our job to supply everyone that comes with the food that is being used for the devotees in the temple that is necessary for the devotees here. So that could be seen as hard-hearted or something, but and
Pretty normal,
huh?
that would be pretty normal.
Pretty normal. Well, it depends on whose view of normal is in vogue at the moment. So, but the thing is that it's another way of making I think the same point. What we are preaching actually is not to give comfort to the materialist. Or even the materialistic tendency, or even the slightest materialistic conception. What we are preaching, when Srila Sridhar Maharaj said about Srila Saraswati Thakur that he is, oh no, why did I not recall it? He has declared totalitarian war against Maya and even all other religious conceptions. Well, we're in the line of Saraswati Thakur. What he did, we are doing. We're followers of him. We're followers of that. And one of our devotees, Shudashrava Prabhu, heard from Srila Govinda Maharaj one time. Govinda Maharaj was telling him, "Oh, you are so fortunate." "Why?" "You are so fortunate because you got to see the preaching mood of Srila Saraswati Thakur." What did he mean by that? Shudashrava is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj. And Swami Maharaj showed that mood of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And that mood was totalitarian war against Maya and even all other religious conceptions. That's our preaching. That's at the root of our preaching. So, that is the basis of the Bhagavatam. At the heart of the Bhagavatam is Dharma Projhita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satang. Vedyam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadang Tapa Trayon Mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parar Ishvara Sadhyo Hrid Avarudyate Tra Kriti Bi Sushrushu Bir Tatkshanat. So, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. Kicking out all material, all conceptions of the absolute truth that have any tinge of mundanity connected to them. If there's any tinge of mundane, we don't want it. You can call it religion, yoga, spiritualism, whatever you want to call it. If it is not the pure conception as taught by our acharyas, then we reject it. And we advise you to reject it, everyone to reject it, and accept what is really good for you, because keep maintaining the idea that I'm going to progress in spiritual life, holding on to my material conceptions, that is not good for anyone. That doesn't help them. Because they can't progress. It's like, you see someone is drowning, they have a backpack, and their backpack has rocks in it. Let's say they're a geologist, right? So they're out collecting rocks, and they fall into the lake, and they've got this backpack with them, and you advise them, if you just throw off the backpack, I think you will float, and then, you can swim ashore. No, no. Why would you tell me to do such a thing? Don't you know the value of these rocks? Well, are they more valuable than your life? Well, he can decide. That's his decision. But he should at least, some good advice, if you just throw off the backpack, you might make it. Get rid of the rocks that are weighing you down. You can't counteract the weight of those rocks, right? So, should I sympathize with them? Oh, you're right. Yeah, those must be so valuable. So, do your best. Good luck. That would not be good advice, right? Not from a thinking person. So that's not our advice. Our advice is that the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we learned from our gurus, that is the most valuable. Jeev Jago, we're singing in the morning, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole, Kota Nidra Jaho Maya, Pisha Chira Kole. You're sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya. You're sleeping on the lap of a witch. And she's deluding you. So wake up and get off. Come join the chanting, the mission of Mahaprabhu, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And also, I might add, understand why you're chanting. Because I see a lot of apathy in our in our mission, thinking, devotees thinking, oh, well, the leaders will be responsible for everything. If I just follow the leader, that's sufficient for me. And true to some extent. If the leader is qualified, there's the first point. Is the leader qualified or not? Well, who is the leader? The leader is, we know who our leaders are. For all of us, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, and Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. Those are our leaders. Then their leaders are those who are following them. So we have to also have a little discrimination, who is a follower of them or not, right? So a little idea about that. So to know that, then we have to know something also. So that's why we're reading. I started reading this months ago. Actually, we haven't gotten very far in it. But Sri Guru and His Grace. Because this book is for people who want to know, who is a guru? Is he following his guru or not? What should your relationship be with that guru as a disciple, as a god brother, as whatever, etc.? And what are your responsibilities? What are your duties as a god brother, as a disciple, etc.? So, our gurus generally advised us, not even so much generally, I don't think. They advised us, they instructed, and they insisted that you understand this philosophy. The philosophy has there's a reason that Srila Swami Maharaj published so many books. And there's a reason that he pushed for their distribution all over the world. Had them translated into different languages and so forth. And what did he say? Books are the basis. So in my preaching, when I was meeting the public regularly, then I met people that objected to the behavior of our devotees, the devotees of Swami Maharaj, when I was doing book distribution. And they, oh, very high ideals you're talking about, but I've seen that you people are doing this thing, or you're stealing flowers, or you're taking people's money, or you know, you're whatever. So whatever it might be, you know, many different, you're brainwashing people, right? You know, so many things. So many things. So I think you're not really bona fide. And so some of their complaints were, you know, substantial. Some persons actually, like professors in universities, like, have studied the Hare Krishna movement, you know, meaning the movement of Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON. They came to the conclusion, actually I think one came to the conclusion, what was his name, Demick maybe? Is that his name? Demak? What Swami Maharaj is teaching is very high, idealistic, beautiful, it's very wonderful, and he is a very qualified Vaishnava saint, but his followers are like a bunch of crazy people. Something like, maybe not that severe, but something a little similar to that. So, you know, he said, maybe I'm getting a couple of persons mixed up, but I think it's the same person. But the idea is there that this man, this Vaishnava saint, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he is very qualified, but I'm talking with his disciples, and they understand that they have to do something, but they don't seem to understand why they're doing it. If I ask them to explain why they're doing it, then, you know, his feeling was they can't give a very satisfactory explanation. So that's why we have these books. That's why we're supposed to study these books and have these classes and so on. So we can understand not only that we need to do something, We need to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We need to serve the devotees. We need to accept a guru. We need to follow the instructions of a guru, etc., etc. We need to know why we're doing it. And these books are the basis that tell us why we should do it. So they should be studied. They should be understood. They should be, and Prabhupada said, and they should be examined. These teachings should be examined from different points of view. We're not making robots. That's not the purpose of, Prabhupada never said, I want a bunch of robots. I can repeat what I say to others. No, he wanted people to understand what he was saying and then tell to others what you understood he was saying. And that's what all of our gurus, as far as I can see, that's what they all want. That's what they all wanted. And I know that Srila Prabhupada wanted it because he said he wanted that. I know that Srila Sridhar Maharaj wanted that because before he gave me sannyas initiation, he asked, at that time his name was Akai Nanda Maharaj, what do you know about this man? My name then was Kanupriya. What do you know about Kanupriya? And Akhananda Maharaj knew about me. He's one of Prabhupada's biggest book distributors. Right? Oh, and does he know what's in the books? That wasn't enough. Does he know what's in the books? So that means that that was important to him. I think it's fairly obvious. Srila Govinda Maharaj, why preach? Why have a class? Why travel all over the world and explain what Krishna consciousness is about? If it's not with the idea that we need to know what it's about, what it is, how to, and not only that, but how to apply it in our life. Right? That professor that I was talking about, Demick, I think was his name, Edward Demick, he wrote some reviews for our books also. He was helpful to us. He was, a good man. Not a devotee, but a pious sort of person. Anyone who appreciates the devotees, there's something there, there's something which is good about that person. And he appreciated Prabhupada and he appreciated our devotees. Maybe not for all the right reasons, but he did. Books are the basis. So books are the basis for what? When you doubt yourself, when you doubt what you're doing, when you doubt your faith, when you doubt your guru, when you doubt Krishna consciousness, when you doubt Krishna, when you doubt the Vaishnavas, when you doubt the deities, when you doubt the temple, when some doubt arises in your mind, how will you counteract that doubt if you don't have some basis, something substantial for doing that? So that's what philosophy is. That's what our philosophy is for. Our philosophy, our teachings, are when the soldier on the battlefield, when he's wounded and he's the other soldiers are all, and everything is in chaos. And he doesn't know, he may be surrounded by the enemy or maybe not. He doesn't know which way, what he should do or what not to do. Then his training is supposed to kick in. That's why there's training, right? And he needs to rely on what he learned so that he can face the battle and not run away a coward. Oh, the battlefield, as Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, the battlefield after the disappearance of the guru, the battlefield will become very complex, will become bewildering, and we will wonder, what should I do? I'm on the battlefield, and some of the soldiers are running away, and some are dying, and some are standing bravely and fighting, but are they fighting for the same cause that I'm fighting for? Etc. So many things, questions may present themselves. So in those times, we need to know what we're fighting for. Am I fighting for give relief to material suffering, the suffering of others? Am I fighting for the relief of my material suffering? Am I fighting for peace? Am I fighting to get peace? That's possible. Will the fighting be the cause of my peace? That's also possible. And through the fighting, will I get salvation? Will I get further service to Guru Gauranga? Or am I fighting only for some mundane cause, mundane principle, my own ego? Is it my ego that keeps me going? My false ego? Not my ego, my false ego. Is that what is motivating me? Or is it my desire to serve Guru Gauranga without any self-interest, and knowing that my greatest self-interest is to serve Guru Gauranga without any self-interest? My greatest self-interest is to have no self-interest, except knowing that will be in my self-interest to give up selfishness, to give up self-interest for the interest of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So to serve their interest. So all in front of me, all is Maya, everywhere around me, Maya, Maya, Maya. And I know, because I've spent all my life practically in a temple, my adult life, then sometimes devotees think that they will be protected from Maya by being in the temple. If they go out of the temple, then there's so many Mayic, so many Mayic representations, illusory representations. So you'll see the drunkards. That means that liquor is available. You'll see the smokers and the potheads and the intoxicators. And that means that intoxication is available, and we're not supposed to take any intoxication. And you'll see that that people are buying and selling meat and fish and eggs, and we're not supposed to take any of those things. And you'll see that there are beautiful women and handsome men, and that they are looking for someone to enjoy with. And our tendency is also to enjoy with them. So there's a temptation, an enticement, and speculation. Speculation means gambling. That's what speculation is. Why do I get disturbed when I see speculation? It's gambling. Oh, it could be this, it could be that. Let's throw the dice and let's place our bet and see if we come out ahead or behind. So the world is full of speculators and different religious ideas. And all these ideas and all these illusions are all fighting for our attention. And the only way we'll be successful, really, is not to be always in defense mode, trying to find a bunker to hide in, to where we can be safe from the illusion, but rather to attack it, to defeat it, to push it back, to push it away farther and farther and farther, to drive it away, as Srila Saraswati Thakur, as Srila Sridhar Maharaj said about Saraswati Thakur, So there will not be one square inch of this earth or this universe where Maya can have a place to stand. So if we are not pushing back this illusion, then it will envelop us. So it's always a fight. And fighting means it's uncomfortable. It'll always be uncomfortable. And we may be frightened also, because Maya is very great. And all of these things, we have already so many bad habits, sankskar, so many things. We have a growth, we take birth in this world addicted. You know, there's always big concern that pregnant mothers should not drink alcohol or use crack cocaine or heroin or whatever, you know. They should not be taking any sort of narcotics because then their children may be born with an addiction. Well, you know, wake up, sleeping souls, Jeev Jago, every child is born with an addiction. And what is the addiction? He's addicted to this material life. And are you going to do anything about that addiction? Because that addiction will kill the child, every single one. If you don't treat that addiction, then that child will grow up, or you know, whatever. So he's going to die either as a child, as a youth, or as an old man or old woman. But he will die, and if you don't treat that addiction, he will die with that addiction, and he will take birth, and his next life, the cycle will continue. So that's our hospital plan. That's our health treatment plan. Stop the addiction. Treat the addiction. And the only way to treat the addiction is... an expert physician must be involved to supervise the treatment. And the patient has to be willing to follow the directions of the attending physician or the physician that's treating the patient. So that means that's what surrender, that's Sharanagati, that's surrender, that's where the process for curing the addiction of material life. Surrender to the proper agent, the proper person, the proper physician. Surrender to him. Follow his diet. What diet he prescribes. Follow his program for environment. What sort of environment will be favorable for the patient? Well, actually, a temple environment is very good. But if you don't live in a temple, then an ashram is the environment that is helpful. It may be Grihastha ashram, it may be Brahmachari ashram, Sannyas ashram, Vanaprastha ashram. Live in some ashram, and there you will be living in an environment that is helpful to treat your addiction and to get free from this material disease. And try to always... keep in the association of others like yourself, like these groups, like the 12-point programs, like Alcoholics Anonymous and things like that. They work. One of the reasons they work is because when I am having difficulty, I know that I have the phone number of someone I can call anytime, day or night, and ask for his help. Someone who is stronger than me, or at least stronger at the moment. And at the moment, when I call that person, he'll say, don't do what you're thinking to do. It's not good for you. I've been there. I've done that. Don't do it. So that's what we need also as practitioners, as neophytes. We need help from those who are more experienced than ourselves. And preferably 24 hours a day. So anytime, day or night, if I have difficulty, then there's someone I can call and ask, please help me. I know that I'm bewildered. Like we were talking the other day, Arjuna's on the battlefield. He's bewildered. It can happen. It will happen to us. Then a little precaution. It's like myself. I'm always taking precautions. I may forget something. So I'm always, making notes about what I need to do. And if I'm like today, tomorrow's Ekadasi, so we're going to put some potatoes out on the counter, because if seeing the potatoes, if I go in the kitchen tomorrow morning before anyone else is awake and I'm hungry, then I'll see the potatoes and I'll remember, oh, today is Ekadasi, don't take any grains, right? Well, that's prevention. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? So we should always be taking some steps to think, there's one stage thinking. I only worry about the moment. And there's two stage thinking. What happens next? Well, we should give some consideration to what happens next. What will happen if? What will happen if I forget that it's Ekadasi? So I don't want to forget. So the day before Ekadasi comes, I make some reminders for myself so that I don't forget. If I get into, if I have some question, if I have some doubt, I want to know who beforehand, who I can call. Say it.
The printer's telephone.
No, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
That's what doubts are. Doubts are like ghosts haunting us. They're always around us, surrounding us, haunting us. So who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. And who's the Ghostbuster? Guru, Vaishnava.
Hello, we're calling Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's right. The Guru. When the temptation is in front of you and you're thinking to succumb to it, then at that time you call loudly the name of a Vaishnava. And then you can see that his influence will disperse that illusion. That's the advice. So I know, but it's not advisable to wait until that time happens and then wonder what to do. No, before that happens, we need to know, oh, if I call loudly, if I chant the name of a Vaishnava, then I will be saved from that illusory idea and it will go away. That's our Ghostbuster, the Vaishnava. And he may be physically present or he may be spiritually present. Or both. And if he's not physically present, then he will be spiritually present through his name, just like the Krishna is present in his name, in his image, etc. So we can also see the Vaishnava, worship the Vaishnava, etc. In the same way. Mahaprabhu, remember when he came back after taking initiation from Ishwarapuri, he was chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. Remembering that these exalted souls, these exalted servitors of Sri Krishna, they are everything. To remember them, that is very helpful, very auspicious, very uplifting, etc. The remembrance of the service of the gopis to Sri Krishna, to remember their service. Well, that's what I'm supposed to, that service, that's the most exalted service, and that's the sort of service that I want to have with Sri Krishna. 24 hours a day, non-stop. Ahaituki apratihata. Causeless and Prabhupada said unmotivated and uninterrupted. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said causeless Oh, now I've forgotten. I had it. I was remembering it. Causeless. Haitukiya pratihata. I can't remember the word he used, but it was like, instead of unmotivated, it was or uninterrupted. It was something like irrepressible, cannot be stopped. Bhakti. Bhakti is causeless, and it cannot be stopped. Nothing can stop it. So that's useful when we're not in the presence of our guru, when our Mahanta guru is not present in front of us, when Gurudev is not present in front of us, but we need the help of Gurudev. Then we will remember that he is always with me, because he is unstoppable. My relationship with him is unstoppable. It's not a mundane. It's not that I have to be in the same room, but that I have to be in his service, and that is not divided by time or space or distance or anything. There's no impediment to that. So that we always have to remember. So anyway, books are the basis, and this philosophy, Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me one time, our philosophy is everything to us. So it's good. We don't have to know every last detail, and we don't have to know every piece of minutia about this Krishna consciousness philosophy. But we should always be eager to know it more and more. Everyone according to his capacity. We don't have to be philosophers. Actually, in the real sense, I wrote something one time, we are not philosophers. We are not philosophers. But we are students of philosophers. Vyasadeva. We were reading the other day that our Sampradaya, Brahma, he, the Adi Guru of our Sampradaya, and he passed this down to his disciples. Brahma, Sita, Devala, Vyas, Narada, etc. There's many from one disciple to another. Well, they're philosophers. Vyasadeva, the greatest philosopher, Prabhupada referred to him like that, the greatest philosopher. Scientist, Vyasadeva, the greatest scientist. One time, Hari Charan Prabhu, he had the idea, one of the disciples of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he had the idea to finish, he didn't finish his education. I forget how much education he had. I think something like Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj said ninth level or something like that. And Govinda Maharaj said, so he was more than me. I only went through sixth level or something. I don't remember.
What do you mean by sixth
level? Huh?
What do you mean by sixth level?
I don't know because it's, you know, it's Indian system, but something like sixth grade and ninth grade.
Okay.
So elementary, maybe junior high, you know,
yeah.
Not more than that, high school. So he was saying, that Hari Charan Prabhu, he is, more educated than him, than Govinda Maharaj. But Hari Charan Prabhu, he was thinking that his education was not sufficient. So at one point he was telling Govinda Maharaj that he was thinking to ask Srila Sridhar Maharaj if he could go back to his village, back to his home for some time, and finish his schooling. And Govinda Maharaj told that to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, what kind of madness is that? He's studying on the level of Brahma, Shiva, Vyas. He's studying on their level right now. What's he going to get more than that? What will be the value of any other education? He's already studying at the highest level possible. The level of Lord Brahma, the level of Lord Shiva, the level of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, Narada, Narada Muni, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we're doing. That's what we're studying. So we may not get it all, but at least we're in the class. And the other students, they will also help us. That's another thing. When we're in difficulty, they go to another student. The other student will also help. If he's a little more advanced than me. Right? That's our class system. When Prabhupada was instructing the Gurukula teachers how to teach Gurukula, he was telling them, not necessarily, you know, the current system, it wasn't always the system, the current system now in the West and the United States is, you know, you can't have a class with more than 25 students, it's overcrowded, the teacher can't handle it, you know, et cetera, something like that, right? It's like, what do you do? What do you do if you only have one teacher but 26 students? Well, you know, you have to get another teacher then. Because 25 is the limit or something, you know. That's what I hear, anyway. Prabhupada said, no, the older students will teach the younger students. Take advantage of what they've learned something, so let them instruct the younger students. So someone who's at the fifth grade level, can't he help the third grade level to learn what they need to learn? Why not? He's already learned it, and he's gone on beyond that. So each student will help the other, and those that are more advanced help those that are less advanced. And that's also Vaishnavism. Those who don't know anything, the most junior can preach to them and tell them what they know, something. The Kanishtha Adhikari, he can preach to the conditioned soul and who doesn't know anything, who has no Adhikar. And he can help him come to the next level, go to the next level. What you know about spiritual life, that's not sufficient. Come to another, there's something more than that. I don't know it all, but I know there's something more than what you know. And every level, there are levels within the levels. So there's Kanishtha, Kanishtha, Madhyam Kanishtha, Uttam Kanishtha. I mean, so it means that there's the beginner, the middle level beginner, and the advanced beginner. And then within those, then there are also divisions. The beginner, the medium level beginner, and the Uttama beginner, right? So like this. But anyway, and each one should take advantage, and the Kanishtha Adhikari, what should he do? Then he should take advantage of the knowledge of the Madhyama Adhikari. And, you know, petition the Madhyama Adhikari, please, you know, be merciful to me, please instruct me, etc. I want to advance, I want to progress. And the Madhyama Adhikari, he's looking to the Uttama Adhikari, etc., like this. A very simple system. So, try to help those who are junior, those who know less. Make friends with those who are equal, who know the same or more or less similar, and try to associate with and serve those who are advanced. Try to get the association of those who are advanced. So, in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami states this. Shasti chat panati bish chabajan. Chabajantam isham sushushaya. Bajanam. I can't remember the first line of the verse. Where is it? See, if I had an advanced student here, he could tell me. He could help me. What is that line? How does it begin? Diksha. For some reason, I can't remember it, but. Anyway, the translation is that one should mentally honor a devotee who is chanting the holy name of Krishna. And if we see someone is chanting the holy name of Krishna, we should give them some respect mentally, offer them some respect. If someone has actually taken diksha, initiation from a Vaishnava guru, then we should bow down and offer our obeisances to such a Vaishnava. And if, and I remember the next two lines, Sushrushaya bhajanam vigam ananyam anya nindadi shunya ridam ipsita sangha labdhya nindadi shunya ridam ipsita sangha labdhya. Even those, maybe I have them reversed, I don't remember. But we should associate with and faithfully serve the advanced Vaishnava, the Uttama Adhikari, the Vaishnava who is on the highest level. That should be our relationship with the higher Vaishnava. Associate and serve. And it was this verse that caused some change in me, that it wasn't enough that I had taken sannyas from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and now I'm going out in the world to preach. That verse, remembering that verse, who is Srila Sridhar Maharaj? Well, he is that advanced Vaishnava, that exalted Vaishnava. It's not enough that I've taken sannyas from him and that I'm going out to preach. Of course, that's one type of service. But I should serve him. I should be his disciple. I should render service to him. So then I had that, I got that idea, and I tried to do that. Others also are doing the same thing. But it wasn't enough just to, I've taken sannyas, now I don't need him anymore, right? Now I can go, now I've got sannyas, now I can go and preach or whatever as a sannyasi. But who is given that sannyas? What is he? Oh, he is this Uttama Adhikari. He is that type of devotee who Rupa Goswami says you must associate with. I was associating already. But that's not enough, just the association. What's the exchange? What are you going to give in exchange? He's given you something, his association. Now what are you going to give? Well, then you give service. Faithful service. Associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is undeviated in his devotional service. Then we should associate and serve such a Vaishnava, such a devotee. So, to know these things, then this philosophy, we must try to get a grasp of it so that we can help others by telling them what we know. Help ourselves by reminding ourselves what we know, and so forth. So when the chips are down, when the times are tough, and we may think that we are alone or something, we will remember the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the books of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Govinda Maharaj. And their instructions are to guide us, to help us, to nourish us, to feed us. So just as the Japamala should not remain fasting, the book should not be fasting on the shelves. We should be studying these instructions in some form or other. Now we have the internet, we have MP3 players, and we have video players and all sorts of things, all sorts of ways to keep refreshing our memories about the instructions of Sri Guru Gauranga. Okay. So, I didn't read one line. I don't know what happened. But anyway, Sri Guru and His grace is there. It can be read by everyone, whether I'm reading it or not. We all have copies here. Is there any questions? And study the books under the guidance of a higher Vaishnava. That's very helpful. It's necessary. Under the guidance of a higher, even these books, these are, in a sense, they're so for me anyway, they seem very familiar because these things I've heard almost all of it, either directly from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, these books of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, either directly from him, or from listening to recordings of his talks, which is where these are taken from. So in a sense, I feel very familiar with these, but it's still it's not enough. One-time exposure is not enough. Over and over and over, hearing and chanting. So hearing the instructions of the guru and then telling someone, discussing with someone. And that sets it in our memory and fixes it with us, becomes substantial. It's not theoretical. We have to convert everything from theoretical to practical. It becomes practical when we tell someone else. When we're able to try to help someone else or try to help someone else or give some comfort to someone or some nourishment to someone by reciting the instructions of our guru, then it becomes practical. It becomes a living thing in us. These are living instructions. We want them to live in us. And they live in us when we use them in the way they are intended to help others. Okay. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Jai Sparikar Sri Sri Guru Granga Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari Ju Ki Jai. Jai Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Jai Sri Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. And Jai Srila Bhakti Rakak Shirar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Bhagavan Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Jai Sri Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnang Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Akyam Namami Bhakta Shakti Kam Tai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Gaur Hari Bol.